listen to Big Blue Kickoff live on Giants.com. The show will begin shortly.
It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live, only on Giants.com.
Manning going to keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5, touchdown Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time and Big D. Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake, Freeman back to throw, under pressure, heaves it downfield, intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15, cuts right back to the 20, looking for a block up to the 30, and drag down there.
Manning takes the snap, back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline, and it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzin takes the snap.
Pass intercepted as he threw it right, picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul, and he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelt.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. Or you can check us out on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. We converse there during the show as well. I'll read some tweets and answer some questions as this show continues. Programming note, just as a reminder, no show Friday, no show Monday for Memorial Day weekend. The office will be closed. Tomorrow morning, we will have our final draft expert to break down the Giants draft picks, Rob Rank from CBS Sports. And he also broke down for us before the draft who the Giants should pick. Now we'll get his reaction. The draft is over, and then we're going to move along with the offseason competition. OTAs start next week. We can start talking about that. And in that vein, let's discuss what the Giants players did talk about yesterday when they met the media for the first time since this offseason program really started, at least post-draft. And we heard mostly from some of the rookies, and I think there were some interesting notes here as we move forward. One thing I thought that was fascinating is a lot of these rookies are being asked to learn multiple positions. And that lends itself towards position flexibility. I went back and forth with some people online yesterday. Some were unhappy these guys are learning multiple positions. You know, have them focus on one, learn that, then move on. But I think that speaks towards the Giants' confidence in these guys to have high football IQs and to learn multiple spots at the same time. We'll see if it works or not. Only time will tell. To be more specific for you, Odell Beckham Jr. is a guy that's learning both outside wide receiver positions, both the X and the Z, split end and flanker, though he's focusing really on that split end, which is the X position. And that is really, at least traditionally, in Kevin Gilbride's old offense, that was the Hakeem Nicks spot. That's the spot where you put your best receiver and he's the focus of your attack. And generally speaking, your X is your number one wide receiver, so it gives you an idea of where they're working in Odell Beckham Jr. And, of course, he will compete with Reuben Randall. We talked about that a little bit. And just to stick on Odell Beckham Jr. for a second, look, you guys can call and ask me about it if you want. All these rumors where the news stories where this woman's claiming that they're engaged and there's a kid and hookers involved with threesomes and stuff. Look, all I could tell you is this. Odell Beckham Jr. says it's not true. It's a complete lie. His parents say it's not true. It's a complete lie. It's completely fabricated. And big, by the way, shocking that this comes out a day after he signs his rookie contract for $10 million. That, I'm sure, is not a coincidence. So you want to call him and ask about that, that's fine. All I'm going to be able to tell you is that Beckham says it's not true. The Giants say it's not true. They asked the NFL to investigate it, and Beckham Jr.'s parents say it's not true. So that's all I can tell you about that. Number two, getting back to the actual football stuff. Weston Richburg working as a center. He said he will eventually be asked to play guard by the team. He hasn't had to do it yet, but that will be something he's going to learn. Devon Kennard, somebody that played both outside and middle linebacker in college. Most people think of him as a situational pass rusher, maybe in that Adrian Tracy role at some point. Right now is learning middle linebacker and Sam linebacker both at the same time, so that's multiple spots that he's going to learn. He said he is and would be able to put his hand in the ground and rush the passer as well. The safety, Nat Burhey, right now is focusing on free safety, though in this defense and the way Coach Dave Merritt has always worked, they've asked the safeties to always learn both spots. So I imagine that's going to happen down the road. Talking to Jay Bromley, he said he's learning every spot on the defensive line from the one shade technique all the way out to the nine technique. So he's learning every spot in that defensive line, which I thought was interesting. So clearly the Giants have a lot of faith in these guys to do multiple things. The one guy that's not being asked to play multiple positions is Andre Williams. He's a running back. That's about it, which is to be expected, obviously, all jokes aside. But moving forward here, I think it does speak to what the Giants think of these guys' football IQs, that they're asking them to learn multiple spots, and hopefully they can learn multiple spots as the Giants move forward. A couple other notes from yesterday, a couple of the veterans spoke to the media as well. Both J.D. Walton and Weston Richburg expressed that they expect to start this year. And when I say expect, I don't mean they're going to be upset if they don't. They will both compete for a starting job, and they're both looking forward to that competition. So I think that'll be a good battle. One interesting note from J.D. Walton, he says he has not played guard before, and he considers himself a center. So not sure if that means he's pigeonholed in that spot. Maybe the Giants will have him learn guard moving forward. But that's where they stand with J.D. Walton. Adrian Robinson spoke to the media. You liked what he said about, you know, this being the year for him. He has to come out and do something. It's been frustrating. All well and good. Talk is talk. Now let's see you walk the walk a little bit. Discouraging that he's overweight and trying to lose weight to get down to where they want him to be. He says he's going to be more of a receiver in this offense. He's looking forward to that. They say he has been working on moving around, doing some H-back stuff. Let's hope he can handle that mentally and understand the plays in the playbook. Speaking of which, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie was one of the guys that spoke to the media yesterday as well. Soft-spoken guy. Go to the video on Giants.com if you want to check it out. He spoke specifically about how he would like to play a lot of press corner this year, press man, rather, at corner. And he thinks that's his strength. And, you know, he thinks sometimes you can have confusion when you play a lot of zone and stuff like that. He did say the Giants' terminology on defense was complicated, and he's trying to learn it, and leaning on the veterans to help him learn some of that terminology. So something to keep an eye on there. Number three, Jeff Schwartz. I thought he, more than anybody else, kind of gave you a little bit of a hint and an inside look as to what the Giants are maybe trying to do here with this offense. He really referenced it as a heavy West Coast type of offense. He talked about it as an offense that will get the ball out quickly. But he also stressed that it's not an offense that's going to dink and dunk. You will take dink and dunk. You will take some shots down the field. So all those, I think, very important things that Jeff Schwartz said. He also mentioned they're doing a lot of zone stuff. Now, he did not get into details. I'm assuming that means a zone running scheme, which would be something different than what they've done here in the past. You know, Pat Flaherty can teach anything, so we'll see if the zone run and maybe that stretch play that the Packers used to run a lot will be part of the Giants' arsenal here when we get to training camp preseason. And we'll keep an eye on that, too, when the Giants start their OTAs next week. Finally, Ryan Nassib spoke to the media, and he basically said that he's working hard. He's, you know, thinks this new system's good for him, and he hopes to be able to win the backup spot and stick on the roster. I did like the fact that Nassib really didn't seem to assume that his roster spot is secure. It really seems like he understands he has to fight for it, which might or might not be the case. I'm not sure, but the fact that he believes he has to fight for it, I think, is a good thing. I think that covers everything. Most of the big news from yesterday. We could talk about that and anything else you want to discuss. New York Football Giants, 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's go to the phones. Andrew is in Pennsylvania. Andrew, you're leading us off today. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, John. How you doing? I just had a couple small things I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
First and foremost, most importantly to me, my wife is going to the hospital today to be induced and bring a new Giants fan into the world, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, Andrew, congratulations. Best of luck, and hopefully everything comes out safe and sound.
Thank you. Appreciate it. But you already talked about the Odell Beckham thing, which was my main question, but I know you don't really know that much, but from what I was reading into it, there's no, like, criminal allegations in this anywhere.
No,
it's not,
not
like,
at all.
Oh, okay, so it's really, I mean, it's things for him, but it's not, like, something we have to worry about our number one draft pick getting in trouble.
Honestly, what this smells like to me, and this is just my instinct taking over, being a cynical person that grew up in New York, is that this girl's fishing for money, and she's trying to get money. And that's probably where she's coming from here. And no, there's absolutely nothing in this entire episode, as weird as it is, that would ever lead to any sort of suspension or jail or charges or anything like that. This just seems like a woman, quite frankly, looking for money. That's what it smells like to me.
All right, well, that's a little bit more comforting. But also, I was curious. I don't know how much – I don't really pay attention, but I went to a couple games of what's it called, Professional Indoor Football League, Arena Football.
Yeah.
But when I went to the local team, Lehigh Valley Seahawks, and J.D. Walton Jr. Was announced as their center. Is that the same guy that's on the Giants roster now? This was a couple months ago.
As far as I know, it is not. If it is, that's something that I've never even heard of him doing. So, I mean, he was here working out. I doubt the Giants would see him, would have him out there playing in some type of a arena league. So I imagine that's just a coincidence.
Oh, all right. Well, that's good. And also, I just wanted to say that, you know, I feel the way the draft class went this year.
Yeah.
I was you had me totally brainwashed on Ebron. I was all about Ebron, especially because I grew up in Irvington, which is right there.
Right.
But I don't know. I was happy with the Odell Beckham pick. I was real disappointed when I seen Ebron go and then Taylor Lewan go, and I was like, oh, who are they going to pick? I really didn't want him to go with Zach Martin. I knew we needed offensive line, but I wanted that second pick. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So I liked the way it fell out, and then they announced Odell Beckham, and it definitely was comforting a little bit. I think it'll be real good. I don't see any problem with having another Victor Cruz-style receiver on the field at the same time. I mean, that sounds like a great scenario to me. And also, I liked when the younger kid called in yesterday comparing his height and speed to everybody. Those are some great names to be in the same class with. So, but I'm most excited about, Andre Williams.
Yeah.
Have they heard anything, like, why he went all the way in the fourth round? Why didn't he get picked in the third or second? Has anything came out about that? Why were they able to get him so cheap, basically?
From what I understand, a lot of NFL teams now, with the way, you know, the NFL works with a lot of passing, they want a running back to be a better receiver. And really, if there's one thing that he's bad at and can't do, it's catching the football. So that is a real negative portion of his game. So I think that scared some people away. I think... Mm-hmm. His lack of side-to-side, you know, quickness and explosiveness in that way probably scared some teams away. And the third thing I think that probably frightened teams a little bit was his workload as a senior. I mean, he carried the ball like 300 times, 400 times.
Yeah, I
think maybe some teams worry there might be some tread off the tire. But if you take a look deeper into it, he only carried the ball 150, 160 times his sophomore and junior year. So I don't think that's much of an issue. Look, I don't think Andre Williams is going to be a future Hall of Famer here, but I think he's going to be a very solid and above-average back at what they want him to do, and that's run it between the tackles, do a good job moving the chains, and he's going to be a perfect guy to do just that.
All right, thanks a lot. Great show, man. I love listening.
Hey, thanks, Andrew. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it, buddy. And once again, good luck today with the kid, and congratulations. It's great news. Always good to have more Giant fans enter into the fray. Get that Giants onesie ready. And by the way, speaking of which, I forget the name of the caller, but our young caller that did call up, I'm not sure if it was yesterday or late last week, and he compared Beckham's speed and height and stuff. And yesterday, Beckham was actually asked, you know, are you worried about at your size trying to make it in the NFL? And he actually brought up one of the names that the caller brought up, and that was Percy Harvin, that he's basically the same size. You know, he said Harvin's a little bit faster than him, which is true. Harvin ran I think he set the combine record, didn't he? Didn't he run like a 4.21 or some crazy number like that? I think he was a sub-4.3. Harvin was ridiculously fast at the combine. But Beckham said that's one of the guys, too, that he uses as a comparison. It's someone that he can, an example of someone that can succeed as a number one guy at that size. So that I thought was interesting. And another thing that Beckham mentioned yesterday when speaking to the media, which I thought was interesting, was actually, what Dave Gettleman said this morning on Sirius NFL Radio. He was discussing his draft pick, Kelvin Benjamin. And while he was discussing Kelvin Benjamin, he mentioned that he thought Odell Beckham Jr. was by far and away the best route runner in this year's draft class. And it was the most advanced route running he saw from any draft prospect, and that's including Sammy Watkins. So I thought that was very interesting that Dave Gettleman would bring that up, and obviously he was impressed by the Giants' pick of Odell Beckham Jr. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Paul in the Bronx next. Paul, what's going on? Paul, you there? Let's put Paul back on hold. We'll try to get to him. We'll see if he's back in a second. Ben is in Clifton Park next. Ben, is Clifton Park in New York or New Jersey?
That would be in New York.
At Long Island?
No. It's 15 miles above Albany.
Oh, okay. Wow, you're way up there. Okay, great. What's on your mind today?
Well, I think that they did a great job in the draft, you know, all the players they picked. I think character is a big thing to me. You know, guy's got to be dedicated to his profession. And also, they're all team captains. And I'm really excited about Odell Beckham. I think he's going to be a very good wide receiver for us. I think when people start seeing this guy play, he's got the ability to stretch the field. They're not going to be able to stack the line of scrimmage. And then the guy, Andre Williams, this guy is a real bruiser. You know, he's kind of like a George S. Patton type of running back. He's going to come right at you, and he ain't going to take no prisoners.
Now, Ben, I agree, and I think as important as it is to, you know, open up the run game and not bringing the safety into the box, having Odell Beckham Jr. out there will also make it a lot tougher for teams to double-team Victor Cruz, something he had to deal with all year last year.
Yeah, and also I like that Weston Richburg. I think he's a very good player. I mean, we needed a center for a long time. You know, that really hurt us. You know, I would have liked Zach Martin and Taylor Lewan, but I, you know, all the picks I look at, I'm happy with them. I think they're great to me. It's like a B plus, A minus. I mean, you know, when you compare to other teams and what they picked. Also, the other guy, Bennett Jackson, he could have been a second or third round pick. He was going up the draft board. You know, he showed that he could be a special kind of player.
Yeah, I mean, Bennett Jackson at Notre Dame did show some flashes, but he wasn't great his last year. If he would have came out after his junior year, you know, he might have been more of a middle round, third or fourth round pick, but he did not play that well as a senior, so the Giants hope that they got a bit of a bargain there.
Yeah, and I like Jay Bromley, too. He was a good, solid player. You know, he's a penetrating 4-3 tackle at Syracuse. And this thing about, you know, this guy played at Boston College or this guy played at Syracuse and, you know, they're picking players from certain schools. That's a bunch of crap. They pick guys. They have an agenda of what they look for in each in players, character, productivity, the system they played in, the techniques of executing their assignments, whether it's an offensive position or defensive position. Their versatility, you know, there's a lot that goes into picking a player, you know, and we don't see it because we're not a scout. We're not the GM. We're not
right.
Sitting down, and we don't have the time because, you know, you got a full-time job as an announcer. I got my job in furniture and, you know. But I like reading up on all these players because, I mean, every player they pick, they got good character. And that's the foundation. You pick a Stunad, a guy that's going to get in trouble. You wasted your draft pick.
I agree. I think the Giants went a long way towards focusing on getting good football players this year and making that a real focus of their draft.
Yeah, I got another thing I want to say.
Yeah.
That gal, Ann, I think we're going to have to get together and have an exorcism for Ann. That's what we're going to have to do.
Exorcism. That's a new one.
We're going to have an exorcism here. Hey, we're going to get Steve and Shakes and me, you, and Paul Dottino, Lance. I thought she was going to come right through that phone and grab Lance.
Oh, that's funny.
And possess him.
That's very funny. Paul, thanks for the call, buddy.
Well, I think we're going to have a good season. I really do. I think that a lot of people are going to like McAdoo because he's a very innovative coach. And what I like about him is that he's going to develop a system based on their abilities
right.
And what they could do. He's not going to install a system in which these people are not going to be able to execute their assignments. So that's a big plus.
I agree. Ben, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
All right, you take care.
You too, Ben. Thanks so much for calling in. 201-939-4513. Exorcism, that's a new one. I could see that. I'm just imagining Lance officiating an exorcism. It's quite amusing. 201-939-4513. Paul is up in the Bronx. What's going on, Paul?
Yeah, sorry about that touchscreen phone.
That's all right, Paul. No worries. What do you got?
Yeah, just two things, really. No, three. First, I just want to say I really don't like the combine. I really think that all the measurables that they do in there is a whole bunch of hoopla just to see who's the best athlete. Everybody who comes in there to play football is an athlete. They don't measure the heart of a champion. Just wanted to say that. And two, I wanted to say that Adrian Robinson being a little bit overweight was definitely, like you said, discouraging to me because if I remember correctly, he had an injury last season that took him out. And then, you know, he was going through the workouts and stuff, the surgery. You know, you got to be working out, too, so you can come back in shape. You know, that just shows a little bit of laziness. And my third thing, but I wanted to know, do you know anything about, like, injury updates as far as David Wilson, Stevie Brown, JPP, things like that?
Well, Stevie Brown, as I understand it, he's pretty much out there. I don't think he's really holding back that much. I mean, once you get to minicamp, maybe he's not going to do some team stuff, but I think Stevie Brown's in good shape. I would expect him to be 100% practicing every day once training camp gets here in end of July. That would be my feel on him. That would be almost 12 full months since the injury. I guess close to 11 months since the injury he suffered last year in that preseason game against the Jets. So Stevie Brown I wouldn't worry about. And as for David Wilson, look, he feels fine. And I think he's working out. He's lifting. He's doing all that stuff. They're just waiting to get the MRI and x-ray back that shows whatever issue he has in his spine is solved. And, you know, I guess it's the narrowing of the spinal column. I guess that's what the issue is. They got to make sure that it's, you know, not as narrow anymore and that it's safe for him to play football. So that's really just a wait and see. There is no update on that. And then the other guys you got to worry about, I guess, is Will Beatty, you know, coming off that leg injury. I don't, you know, he's not doing everything yet. The Giants hope he'll be back for training camp. And J.D. Walton did say yesterday, by the way, that he is 100%, and he was 100% by week 10 last year. But at that time, the Broncos were just rolling so much that, you know, he never really had a chance to, you know, play for them.
Okay. All right. Two more points. Now, one is a comment and one is a question.
Sure.
One, I think that the Odell Beckham and Victor Cruz tandem will be good. And my question is, as far as if Odell Beckham is going to be on the outside and Victor Cruz, he'll be on the outside and playing a little bit of slot, where does that leave Randle? Will he be playing slot and exchanging that second outside receiver as well?
Go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry.
They had Eli and him had a lot of miscommunication. That's, you know, put him in the slot and he has the option to go left or right. I could see that going wrong, so I just wanted to know.
Yeah, Paul, and thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. I don't see Reuben Randle play in the slot. I don't think that's his position. I don't think he'd be good at it. I don't think he's the quickest guy side to side and laterally. I mean, you've seen him on kickoffs and punts, or punts rather, not kickoffs. And, you know, you can see he doesn't really make people miss much. He's not a good run after the catch guy. He's more of a, to me, Reuben Randle's strength here. He doesn't have burner speed, but he has good enough speed to beat you over the top for one if you man him up. So that's number one. Two, he has that big frame. To me, he's that perfect short to intermediate possession receiver that can catch, you know, 65 to 70 balls for close to 1,000 yards. Quite frankly, you know who Reuben Randle can be? Reuben Randle can be a poor man's Amani Toomer with a little bit more height. That's what he can be. As long as he gets his act together in terms of being on the same page with Eli Manning and mentally understanding where he has to be and what he has to do. But in terms of his physical skill set, Reuben Randle could be a poor man's version of Amani Toomer. That's what he could be. Good possession guy. You know, long arms, big target, moves the chains, can beat you down the field, but, you know, will do most of the damage in that 12 to 20-yard area in the middle of the field and on the sideline. He'll be good at that back shoulder throw with his size, all that type of stuff. The other thing I thought was interesting yesterday, and I forgot to mention this, and no one else really picked up on it. They were talking to Odell Beckham about how his adjustment to the pros is going, and he said, well, in LSU, you're just given your route number and you run that route every time. But here it's a lot different and more difficult because everybody runs their route based on the concept of the play. Now, no one really has to follow up. So take that for what you will. But I think what that's telling you is that this is not going to be, you know, a simple North Turner offense here where you have your route and you're running it. There's still going to be some manner of adjustments and options based on what the defense is showing you and what you're going to do in response to that. And I imagine that's what he probably meant by the concept of the play. Now, I know that's going to send some Giant fans into a tizzy. I'm not saying that it's a, you know, the concept of reading body language and stuff like that, where the Giants got into so much trouble with, you know, Randall and Manning in the past. Not reading body language, reading defenses. And all defenses in the NFL do that. And all offenses in the NFL, you know, adjust what their route they're going to run based on what the defense does. So don't freak out, but at the same time, it's not going to be as simple, all right, you're running a slant no matter what, run your slant. You're running a, you know, 15-yard dig no matter what, you're running the dig. You're running the post corner no matter what, run your post corner. It's not going to be that. So you still might have some miscommunications here or there, folks. Just giving you a fair warning so you're not surprised when it happens, okay? 201-939-4513. Abe is out in California. Abe, long time no speak, buddy.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great.
Good to hear that you're getting married. We wish you much success.
Thank you.
To you and your bride-to-be.
Appreciate it.
Hey, about a week or two ago, you made some comments concerning if anybody had some suggestions on some upcoming shows.
Yeah, what do you got?
There's a few things I'd like to say, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
One, if you're able to get Joe Skiba back, he does a fantastic job, especially last year when you had him manning the mics, but also when you do the little video excerpts of him in the training room. I really enjoy that, and
okay.
I think a lot of the fans do as well. Two, if it's possible, maybe getting a trainer and how they do their assessments and evaluations on working with the individual players. Three, if there's any possibility, and this is a long shot, of maybe having John Mara on, maybe call it Mara Monthly Night Football, so we kind of get a pulse of what his observations or what his thoughts are concerning the season. And four, with all the ugliness and the craziness of life and individualities, I'm wondering if you're able to do some sort of interviews where you're able to interview the players and ask them about their individual charities. I know a lot of the Giant fans are not privy to attending some of these events, but by showing some sort of solidarity, maybe we can rig up a big blue kickoff football T-shirt or something, and as the fans support these charities, we can show some sort of solidarity by receiving a big blue kickoff live T-shirt with a donation of some sort. Anyway, that's all my thoughts are today, but hey, I wish you a special, successful day and really enjoy the show out here in California. Take care of yourself.
Thank you. I appreciate the call, man. 201-939-4513. All right. The ownership thing's probably not going to happen. I'm not going to lie. That's not going to happen. Trust me. I mean, John, look, Mr. Mara is a great owner. He runs his organization, you know, like a family, and everybody in this world should run their organization the way John Mara runs this place. But he's not exactly Mr. Chatty when it comes to the media. You know, he'll talk, and, you know, he'll speak when he thinks it's necessary. But in terms of doing, like, a weekly or monthly spot with anybody, let alone me, not going to happen. Generally speaking, with the team and the NFL, trainers and medical people generally don't give interviews about that sort of stuff because, quite frankly, I think teams in a lot of ways, if they have special methods or ways they go about things, want to keep a competitive advantage. So don't think that's going to happen. But the Joe Skiba thing for sure, I can talk to Joe. We can get him on. I'll have my people talk to his agent. And we'll get Joe on to talk about any potential uniform changes and things like that. That could be fun. And that's interesting about the charities. And maybe I can get somebody mock up a Big Blue Kickoff Live T-shirt. That could be fun. It could be like a montage of all the people that host the show. You could have, like, the Tino mid-walk. You could have Lance trying to climb into his booster seat. You could have Ann in D.C. in the straitjacket in the back trying to get out. Len on, like, his rocking chair on his porch with, like, the cup of coffee in his mouth wearing, like, his robe. That's how I assume Len calls the show every morning. Rocking chair, porch, robe, cup of coffee. Shake struggling to roll out of bed to place his morning phone call. Steve try to avoid his boss, like hiding in the like underneath his desk at his cubicle. Try to call in. Oh, man. Charlie in Portland, Maine, watching a game. Obviously very annoyed and frustrated. Holding up a fire cherry side. Oh, boy. Kashawn looking at everybody acting like nuts and just shaking your head. That could be amusing. Seems like a lot of work, though. I'm not sure if I'm in favor of that. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Derek in Atlanta. Derek could be on the T-shirt trying to build a like engine for a jet or something like that. What's going on, Derek?
By the way, I'm an IT engineer.
Okay, so fine. Building a computer. Same difference.
So when are you going to get your live podcast where we can see you in the studio?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what, Derek? And I want to throw this out there, and you guys can send your responses to either hashtag Giants Chat or just send them directly to me. We're investigating the possibility of, in the fall and during the season, doing the show every day at lunchtime rather than the morning, and it would be a video show. And you would basically see us react to the insanity that sometimes comes across these phone lines. So that might add in some extra entertainment purposes for you guys out there. So, you know, think about it. Everybody out there, let me know what you think about that, because we have a very good following here in the morning. But we know, just based on numbers with the website, we have one of our biggest bumps in terms of people that log on to the website around lunchtime, so around 12 or 1 Eastern. So we're considering, once the season starts, doing our show live 12 to 1 every day. And doing a video. So that is something we're considering. So if you guys want to go online and, you know, send in some messages what you think about it, I'd love to hear from all of you.
Yeah, we can see all your sticky notes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But looking at the drafts, the interviews yesterday, it kind of started me seeing what the Giants were thinking kind of during the draft. You know, everybody said before the draft is that we have a lot of spots to fill. We got a lot of needs. And the Giants look like they went out and got some captains, some thinkers, because they're going to have to rely on some of these players to play multiple positions. And, you know, you might have J.D. Walton and Weston Richburg, you know, suit up in the ideal of that they'll back up each other, but they can also play guard or, you know, some other position, you know. So that's one thing I kind of got out that yesterday.
No, Derek, I agree. I think that's fair. I think the fact that they trust these guys to learn two positions at the same time speaks to the football IQ of the guys that they brought in. I agree.
And listening to Adrian Robinson, you know, I kind of heard that little thing in there. I don't know if you got it either, you know, when he said that, you know, having McAdoo as his tight end coach now, he can meet anytime he wants to, and, you know, he pretty much will. So,
well, yeah, look, Adrian Robinson.
I don't know if that was a little jab at my post, but, you know.
Well, which is, you know, why, frankly, I don't buy, because, I mean, look, this place can be strange sometimes. At times last year, at random times late afternoon when most players are gone, you would see Mike Pope, like, in the hallway with two or three of his young tight ends trying to teach him technique and, you know, things like that. So, I mean, trust me, Mike Pope was always available to their players. But the one thing I did like from Adrian Robinson yesterday is that he says he is taking more time to watch extra tape, stay here longer, study a little bit more. Now, you wonder why the heck weren't you doing that already the last 2 years, especially since you were hurt and you had nothing else to do. But it is good if he is starting to finally do that this year.
Yeah, the first thing of, you know, solving your problem is to realize that you have one.
Right, exactly.
And he did mention that, you know, he was kind of immature, and, you know, he's trying to grow up and be a pro. So hopefully that translates. You know, he's at 270 now. He's lost some weight. It looks like they want him to move a little bit more and play maybe an H-back in, plus catch the ball out of the backfield on the move, if that's possible. So that's hopefully, you know, those things will work out for him. But Nate, how do you say his name?
Burhey. It is Nat. Burhey.
Well, he played a position that Will Hill may be.
Well, they asked him yesterday if he started to learn that hybrid spot. He kind of laughed, and he's like, no, not yet. I'm just trying to figure out what all, like, the words mean in, like, the defensive system. So he hasn't learned that spot yet, but I'm sure it's something that they would consider playing him in. And, you know, here's my thing. You know, people talk about that like, hybrid position, that third safety spot. To me, it's different depending on who the player is. If Anchor Roll is that third safety, he's going to basically play slot corner, and he's going to cover those slot guys man-on-man. If it's, you know, Deion Grant playing that third safety spot, he wasn't guarding slot receivers one-on-one. He was playing more of a zone in that robber area. So I think it really depends who's there, and that affects how they use him in that spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the last thing I kind of got out the interviews was DRC said that he was very impressed with the linebackers filling in pass in the pass game. And
I missed that part, actually. What did he say exactly, Derek?
Yeah, he said that he was really impressed with the linebackers filling in the pass. He was asking about the secondary, and he said, yeah, the secondary is going to be good, but he was impressed by the linebackers filling in pass coverage and dropping. So, you know, that's a good thing, you know. So hopefully that'll work out. You know, he didn't have to mention that, so that obviously that stood out in his head. So
yeah, which honestly, I mean, look, I think Paysinger can cover a little bit. I think Jaquan Williams is obviously a pretty good cover guy, Derek. But thanks for the call, man. I was getting some noise in the line there for a second. But, you know, I think if there are weaknesses to Beeson and McLean's game, it's probably the fact that they're not the best cover guys. So for him to say that certainly was a positive, and I actually missed that yesterday. I was wandering around between DRC and Adrian Robinson were talking at the same time, and, you know, I decided that I'd rather listen to Adrian Robinson because I think he's a bigger story right now. We know DRC is the starting corner. We know his strengths. 201-939-4513. Alan's down in Miami. Alan, what's going on, bud?
Hey, how are you, man? Long time no speak.
Yeah, Alan, what's going on?
One, after your honeymoon, when are you going to take the Knicks head coaching job?
Well,
we need you there.
Well, you know, the scary thing, Alan, is that at this rate, it still might be open when I get back from my honeymoon on, like, July 14th. So we'll see
Luke
about
Walton
that.
Or John Smelk. I said, well, I'll take John over Luke Walton.
Well, I'll tell you what. I can give Luke Walton a run for his money. I'm just kidding. But honestly, you know what? I would be okay with Derek Fisher. I honestly would be. Now, we'll see if he actually decides to take the job or not once the Thunder are eliminated. And honestly, I think the Thunder might lose that series in five games if Serge Ibaka doesn't come back. I don't think they can beat San Antonio with him on the bench. So we'll see. I'll live with Derek Fisher. I like Kerr as a candidate better only because I liked his experience as a general manager. And I think Fisher is obviously going to have some growing pains going right from a player to being a coach. But I would be okay with Derek Fisher if he ends up being the guy.
Well, the one thing I'll say before I get to my Giants point is I just think that I still think in my heart Phil's going to coach. And what makes sense to me is bring in Fisher to be his assistant and kind of like that Jimbo Fisher in Florida State coach to be waiting, you know, coach for a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah, Alan,
you never know, man.
Yeah, Alan, I hear you. Honestly, here's how I see it, and very quickly, I know I'm boring people with this now. But to me, Phil Jackson is going to do what Riley did. He's going to bring in a coach to coach. He's going to bring in the players. And once he feels the team is championship caliber and the first coach he hires has shown him that he's not good enough to coach them to a championship, that's when Phil Jackson's going to kind of come down from the mountaintop and say, now that this team's good enough to win, now I'm going to coach for like a year and a half and try to win that title. But I don't think he's going to go down and do it now because, frankly, I don't think he thinks this team is anywhere near close good enough to win a championship. That's my take. What do you got on the Giants, Alan?
Everybody keeps talking about the draft, and obviously the most important thing we have to look about to me is the schedule. It's never early enough to look at the schedule, and there's just, I mean, I'm just looking at this, and I'm just trying to see, like, where you can find 10 wins. I mean, you look at Atlanta, they're going to be better than last year. Arizona's a strong team. Detroit's a strong team, and what scares me is just those four games after the bye.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, three of them are at home, so it's great, but you got Monday at Indy, at Seattle, which is always a tough place to play. Just reminds me of Jay Feely missing those three field goals that 1 year. Versus San Francisco versus Dallas. Then it gets a little bit easier towards the end, which has not really been their case the last couple of years. They have a pretty soft schedule the last five games of the year, but I'm just wondering, are they going to make it to those final five where you have Jacksonville, Tennessee, Washington, St. Louis, and Philly?
Yeah, Alan, I'll say this. and you mentioned it, those last five games, I'm not sure I would call them soft, but they're definitely, I think, the most winnable set of games on the schedule. I agree 100%, though three of them are on the road. Here's what I worry about. The first 11 games, take a look at it for a second. Everybody out there, open up the schedule. Look at the first 11 games on this schedule. You tell me how many of those teams are going to finish the season with a record under 500. I think the Lions will be 500. The Cardinals will be 500. The Texans will probably be under, but not by much. The Redskins have a shot to be 500, but I figured there'll be something like 7-9 this year. I think the Falcons will be over. The Eagles will be over. The Cowboys will be right around there. And the Colts, Seahawks, and 49ers will all be over. So you're looking at maybe two teams out of the first 11 games that are going to be at 500 or below. That's scary.
Yeah, I mean, you just wonder how do you pace it. Obviously, you go with that old cliche, one game at a time. But, I mean, this is just – I mean, you like, you know, Arizona coming for a 1 o'clock game after they have – I think they have a Monday night game as well, the first
– Oh, do
the
they?
Season,
honestly, I didn't realize that. Who are they playing week one on Monday night?
I think they're playing –
Let me see.
They're not the Monday night. I know they have a late game, but I know they're playing on a short – I believe they're playing on a short week, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong.
No,
but either way,
check it out right now.
They're traveling. They're traveling on a you know, to the East Coast at a 1 o'clock game, but we saw Seattle do that last year, and it didn't matter. But, you know, it's just – you just look at the schedule, and it's just really, really scary. When I first saw it, I was kind of excited because I said, oh, man, Arizona, Houston, Detroit, and then you start to think, well, these teams are going to have a great year bouncing back. But then again, that Indy, Seattle, San Francisco, Dallas, those four games, that's a nightmare.
No, and you're right, by the way.
That could easily be 0-4.
The Cardinals open up their season Monday night, September 8th, against the San Diego Chargers. So they actually play right after the Giants do on that Monday night. But they have to travel, so it makes it a little bit easier on the Giants.
So what do you think? I mean, can you see 10 wins coming?
Yeah, look. It's very hard to look at the schedule this early and figure out what games are tough and what games are easy. And I always use this as an example. You look back at last year and before the season, you figure one of the toughest games on the schedule is going to be your game home against the Packers on November 17th. What happens? Aaron Rodgers, you know, hurts himself, breaks his collarbone, and all of a sudden, you know, you're facing Scott Tolzien, and it's one of the easiest games you're going to have all year. So you never know. There's a way for the Giants to get to 10, for sure. I mean, you know, if certain things go well, Eli Manning plays as well as he did a couple years ago. He plays as well in the fourth quarter as he did a couple years ago. They can figure it out. But is it going to be easy? Hell no. But it never is. It's the NFL. There's a lot of parity, and you have to play your best every week if you want to beat any of these teams.
No, absolutely. So, and obviously, we'll keep an eye on for it. I just can't wait. We've got about four months to go, a little less than 4 months. So
thanks,
I'll
Alan.
Be calling in a lot more.
Appreciate it, man. Good to hear you, and please call back.
All right. Bye-bye.
201-939-4513. A couple things on Twitter really quickly. At Zomac, I can see why Adrian Robinson has struggled with the playbook. Doesn't come across as the brightest. Well, I'm not sure about that one. But he basically admitted to being unprofessional. He did say that. Now he's being more professional. So, again, you wonder what the heck were you doing the last couple of years. Let's see. But, you know, if he's figured it out, that's certainly a good thing. Sonny Boy, or this one, Vince Milton, excuse me, at VNCE1. What do the Giants expect from Mario Manningham this year coming off of a major injury? Look, I don't think he's back yet all the way either. I forgot to mention him when I talked about the injuries earlier. I think they expect him to compete for the third or fourth wide receiver spot and, you know, give competition to Jarrell Jernigan, give competition to Reuben Randall, and maybe he can be that guy that can challenge over the top and beat you with the speed. 201-939-4513. Jince Florida Man at Seth Mon. Besides Eli, who is the vocal leader on offense? Without a grizzly vet on the O-line, who gets in the players' faces? Well, I think Chris Knee's that guy. Chris Knee's healthy in his air this year. He's the leader up front, and there's no question about that. Back to the phones. Keith is down in Kentucky. Keith, you're up next on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Doing well, Keith. What's up?
Man, I got a couple things, man. Y'all did some good interviews. Now, starting tight end, week one, I would like Kellen Davis. Adrian Robinson, he still looks like he needs to grow a little bit, you know, into the, you know, hopefully by week six he can get it. He can show some promise. You know, last time I called, I was really hyped about the run game. I still am because that's why I want Kellen Davis to win.
Yeah.
But I like how they're doing. It looks like a power run. Did more research, and they kind of – hold a little bit more on the interviews. It looks like it's going to be a zone blocking scheme up front. So Because if you look at the guys, like the center, they said he excels. He's at his best when he's zone blocking. Williams, he's at his best when he's in the when the front is doing the zone block, you know, the block run. And David Wilson, that's when he's at his best, from what Paul Dottino told me last season, when he's imitating Shady McCoy. He's at his best. So I think the zone, you know, block scheme as far as running, oh, we're going to do some damage. What you think about that?
I agree. I think I'm not sure who mentioned it yesterday. I think it was Jeff Schwartz that talked about really utilizing the power running game. And I think with Rashad Jennings, with Andre Williams, hopefully David Wilson gets back. He'll provide you that more of an explosive change of pace. I think the Giants could have one of the better three-headed monsters at running back in the league. I really do. With those three guys, I think they all complement each other extremely well. I think they can be very effective running the ball first, and then Eli can do what he does best, play action pass, and work off of that.
Right. And that's why I didn't think we need a Troy Niklas, because we have Kellen Davis. So if we need a block first guy, we already got him. Like I said, I live in Kentucky, so I see all the surrounding area games because we don't have a team. So I see Chicago games too. And when I did see that guy play, and he was a starter for the Bears, you know, he wasn't the best. I mean, he was kind of like Kevin Boss. He's exactly what he is. You know, he blocked first and then he catches. But my second thing is, you know, with the rookie, the draft class, now that I've done the research on these guys, it looks like, for the most part, it's not guaranteed that they have a job, but I think it's more their job to lose than some of these athletes like Cooper Taylor. He has to prove himself. You know, he's 6'4", runs a 4.4. That's a freak of an athlete, but he has to prove that he can play football. So to me, it's like the football players versus the freak athlete. What do you think about that?
I mean, I'm not sure I would say Cooper Taylor can't play football, but I agree. He's more of a developmental size, speed guy than I think he is, you know, a guy who had a lot of experience and production on the field in college. So I do think that's part of it. I think that's a good point. And I do think there's going to be some competition there, you know, between the guys who have proven that they're really good football players as opposed to the guys that, you know, are athletes and they're trying to learn the game a little bit. And I think this year in the draft, they certainly – you know, went more towards drafting the football player than they did drafting the athlete.
Right. One more thing. Mark Herzlich, do you think he's in a competition for his back spot with the guy Kennard?
I do. I really do. I think it's at the point now if Kennard does in fact come on board and he learns how to play middle linebacker and they think he's in a good position there to be a backup and be a contributor, I think Herzlich's job could potentially be in danger.
Okay. Well, that's all I got, John. Thanks a lot, man.
Hey, thanks for the call, Keith. Good to hear from you, bud. 201-939-4513. Thanks for the call, bud. Let's go back to the phones. Frank is in Tampa next. Frank, what's going on?
John, good morning. Good morning. Good to talk to you again.
Hey, Frank.
Couple things. I wasn't gonna call in this morning, but a couple of things I heard made me start dialing in. So if you'll bear with me. I know what Ben brought up earlier. It's funny because he used a term down in homogenized Tampa we don't hear too often, but one I remember from Brooklyn, and Stunad, and, you know, an Italian word meaning kind of a dope or stupid,
yeah,
or
an
idiot. And he said, you know, we didn't draft anybody like that, but, you know, it's kind of starting to scare me a little bit, this Beckham kid. I mean, you know, maybe there's nothing to those reports, but normally, you know, like a Jameis Winston, I mean, you put yourself in situations, and sometimes things like this happen, even if they're not your fault. You got millions of dollars on the line, and then I hear, you know, last week you had some people on saying that he's not that dedicated in practice, et cetera, and I start to get that faint whiff of a diva wide receiver before guys even in the league. So, you know, if you're going to get one bad apple out of a group, you certainly don't want it to be the number one guy you're counting on to help turn around your broken offense. So I'm just, you know, getting a little worried. And,
hey, look, well, you know, again, Frank, what I'll say this is that even with this Beckham thing, even if these reports end up being true, which, again, he's saying they're not, there's really nothing in there that says, you know, he's done anything wrong in terms of breaking NFL rules or breaking the law. So I honestly really don't think there's anything to worry about as a Giant fan with all this stuff.
Oh, I'm not talking about suspensions or anything. It's just, you know, the whole attitude and, you know, the entitlement or whatever you want to call it, because, you know, it bleeds over into the other things that we've heard, which scare you even more, which are the not, you know, selling out in practice, et cetera. So, but it's just something to, you know, keep an eye on. The other thing, you know, when he, I didn't see the interviews or whatever, but I didn't know if he compared himself to Percy Harvin or he said he modeled himself after Percy Harvin.
Now, the only thing he said is that the only thing he said, Frank, is that taking a look at guys at my size that have succeeded in the NFL, Harvin's a guy that's basically the same exact size as he is, and he's had a lot of success. That's the only comparison he made.
Okay, but there's two elements of size. You know, one is your physical height, and the other is your stature and your strength. And from what I gather with this kid, you know, it's the thing that's difficult for him, even against college press coverage, is getting off the line.
Yeah.
If you look at Percy Harvin, if this guy wants to model himself after him, which I would love to see in his work ethic, I mean, Harvin is one of the pound-for-pound strongest kids in the league. He's built like a strong safety. I mean, he—I don't know if you've ever seen his workouts or seen him with his shirt off. It is—it's stunning for a wide receiver. I mean, this kid is so physically strong, and he works at it. So if he wants to model himself after him, God bless him.
Frank, I agree, and I agree. I think that's something he has to work on a little bit.
Yeah, and a couple quick questions: can Manningham play the slot?
Manningham's not really a slot guy. Again, he's not really that side-to-side quickness type of guy, and I think, frankly, you know, the slot position might be a little complicated for him to, you know, figure it out mentally, so I see Manningham as more of an outside guy. I could see Beckham going into the slot before I see Manningham or Randall going into the slot. But remember, you have Jernigan, too, so he's a guy that can also slide into that spot.
When I talked to you last week or the week before, I asked if you, and you said you were going to try to find out. I know you had a lot of other things on your mind. Did you get a chance to find out if Walton can play guard at all?
You know, Walton said yesterday he has not played guard before. He considers himself a center. Richburg, when he was asked about it, said that they've told him he's going to learn and play some guard. He hasn't done it yet, so that's kind of where that stands.
Uh-huh. And, you know, you stole my line from a couple of weeks ago, and I'm wondering if you changed your opinion or whatever because you were on with Lance. And I called Randall a poor man's Amani Toomer, and you and Lance didn't seem to agree with that. And then I heard you call him that today, so I don't know if your opinion had changed or you were.
You know what,
you know,
Frank? Honestly, I don't remember having that conversation with you, so that's my fault. If you said that.
Yeah, my exact words.
Well, you know what? And here's the thing: I don't think he's a poor man's Amani Toomer in the way he plays. Because I don't think he's as sure-handed as Amani Toomer. I don't think he's as reliable a route runner as Amani Toomer. Now, if he can develop those parts of his game, I think in terms of, you know, size, speed, skill set, you know, he can be that type of player. But until he becomes a smarter football player and becomes a much better route runner, he's not there yet. But does he have the physical capabilities and raw athleticism to be an Amani Toomer type? Yes, I believe he does.
Yeah. Well, the reason I brought it up, too, is, you know, if you look at them and you didn't have a number on their back, they're both long striders, which is what I brought up, you know, and they definitely have a stride that looks the same. I remember Toomer a few times when he had to run back kicks for us, or punts, I mean, he looked the same, you know, sure-handed. If he can make the first guy miss, it's unusual, you know, and then it takes him a while to get going, you know, he's in a low gear, and then he's got those long strides. So that's what made me, you know, think of him and kind of compare him to, plus their, you know, their physical stature is about the same, 6'2", 6'3", and their arm length, et cetera. So that's what I kind of see in him. But again, the poor man's, because I don't think he'll ever be a money, but I hope he, you know, certainly hope he turns out to be. But, well, thanks for your time, John. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate the call, bud. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Shakes in Baltimore next. Shakes, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, John?
What's up, Shakes? What do you got?
I'm glad you threw me on after that, because that's what I've been saying, too. I've been saying that Randall could be our number two guy, like how Monty was when Plex came in.
But again, he has to be able to figure out the game and be as hard of a worker, be as smart of a player, be as reliable of a target as Amani Toomer. Now, Randall can be that guy. He has the physical attributes to do it. Now he's actually got to do it. That's the tough part.
And that's why you go into the poor man's part, you know? that's why he is the poor man's Amani Toomer, because he don't have that yet. He hasn't established what Amani Toomer has established in the route running and you know, just being overall reliable consistently. You know, every time Eli needed a first down, he was looking for Amani Toomer every time. So that's where he got to get up. That's why I say that comparison of poor man's Amani Toomer is right on the nose with me. All right, now this is something I wanted to speak on too, because a lot of people are, you know, talking about the offensive line. We've been talking about the offensive line for a long time now. I mean, since what, that Carolina game?
Yep.
So my thing about it is, I like the kid Mosley. I mean, I really like Brandon Mosley, man. And I know, like, he hasn't shown nothing. He hasn't really been on the field. He's like, you know, Adrian Robinson of the offensive line. So, but my thing about Mosley is he's a mauler, you know? He's a mauler. He's that lunch pail guy that I spoke of when I spoke of that offensive line. When I started to complain about the offensive line, I said, I don't care about these star guys. I don't care if we go first round offensive line. I don't care about those guys. What I care about is those lunch pail guys that just wants to go to work and just knock somebody on their butt, you know? And that's Mosley. That's Mosley. He reminds me of Sorbert, a tough Sorbert, just a poor man Sorbert. And so if Mosley can, you know, and I heard that Snead has been, you know, working with him a lot too. So if Mosley can just step up and stay healthy, I think that, you know, he's a guy that could possibly replace me in the future.
You know, Shakes, I'll say this. I think it'll be a very interesting battle, not only for a couple of the starting spots on the offensive line, specifically center and right guard. I think it's also going to be interesting to see who sticks as the backups. Ken Mosley, a guy in his third year who was a fourth-round pick, beat out a veteran like John Jerry. I think that'll be a very interesting thing to look at. Can James Brewer finally step up and beat out a veteran like John Jerry and beat out a guy like Brandon Mosley? Because, look, you're not going to carry more than probably eight offensive linemen on your active roster. So you have room for three backups. Right now, Charles Brown has to be on the roster because he's your only backup tackle. So that's one of them. Who are the other two guys going to be? Is it going to be J.D. Walton and Brandon Mosley? Is it going to be J.D. Walton and John Jerry? I mean, who are going to be those two interior backup offensive linemen?
Yeah, and you know what? I was about to that brings me up to my next thing that I wanted to say is, you say 7 to 8. I'm thinking 9.
I have never seen the Giants carry 9 on their 53.
I think they should. You know, just the reason why is because most of our guys are hurt. So you got to be insured there. You have to be insured there. Because we hurt a tackle. You know, we don't know what Beatty going to give us. I hope that he comes back and strong. But we don't know. Snead, we don't know. Walton, we don't know. You know? So I think we should carry an extra guy. I think we should carry 9 guys. And I feel like it should be Mosley. I think it should be Walton as a reserve. Of course, Brown. And my last guy is, I don't want Brewer. Out of the woodwork, I want Herman. I want Herman to step up this year and really take a grasp of that reserve guard, swing guard. And I think we're ready to play football.
Sounds good, Shakes.
Oh, I forgot Jerry, though. I definitely think that Jerry should be on this team, too. So it's a lot of competition at offensive line. So
no question about it, brother.
It's going to be interesting. All right, thanks for taking my call, John.
Thanks, Shakes.
Talk to you tomorrow, man.
Anytime, man. Looks like we lost Greg down in Fort Worth. That was going to be a first-time caller, I think. Greg, give us a call back when you get a chance. Love to talk to you. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Rocky down in Panama City. Rocky, you're up next. What's going on, bud?
How's it going, John?
What's up, Rock?
Not much. I heard yesterday everybody keeps talking about the offense needs to score points and offense wins games, defense wins championships. But everybody's forgetting special teams is one-third of the game, and it's really good to see us finally fixing that. Think about the championship game in San Francisco. If Jaquan Williams don't knock that ball out, we're not going to the Super Bowl, you know?
No, 100%. Look, and I think the special teams, simply based off of talent from this draft and the returners they brought in free agency, and Odell Beckham Jr. for that matter, I think the special teams are going to be significantly better this year than they have been the last couple of seasons.
Right, and I hope David Wilson the best with his neck and everything, but when we got Andre Williams, I know you said kind of Peyton Hill is sort of be looking over his shoulder. To me, if I had to pick, if we had to keep Williams, which I'm sure we will, and I had to pick between Wilson and Hillis, I think Hillis brings more to the table in that new-look West Coast offense.
I think Hillis does bring you certain features that you like, but I do think the other three guys are better and more dynamic playmakers on offense than Hillis. Hillis gives you some things that he's very solid at, but if it's my choice between him or Andre Williams, I'm picking Andre Williams. If I'm choosing between him and Rashad Jennings, I'm picking Jennings. If I'm picking between Hillis and David Wilson, I'm picking David Wilson.
But Wilson, I mean, if we got Beckham, Demps, Holiday, whoever ends up getting that return job, I mean, he's not going to return the kicks for you, and then he can't pass protect like Hillis. He can't move the fullback and catch some passes out the backfield. He can't be that power guy in case Williams or Denny's just dinged up. I don't even know if he can catch as good as Hillis.
No, he can be. Look, I can see Hillis on the roster. I'm not saying you cut him. He could be your fourth running back, but I think when you have your three active running backs on game day, I think those other three guys are probably ahead of Hillis on my depth chart.
Okay. And is there a timetable when we're going to find out something with Will here? Why is everybody being so secretive about this?
Well, I mean, look, the NFL, I think it's their job to be secretive about this until they actually know what the result of the appeal is. I mean, remember, they never actually announced that he had failed the drug test. That was something that leaked out through the media. So the NFL is not going to announce anything until the process is over. And until the process is over, and no, unfortunately, I do not have a timetable when that's going to be. I'm not even sure the Giants do, to be quite honest with you. We're not going to know anything. We'll just have to wait and see.
Oh, I thought they had to release actually what he failed for and then the appeal process started.
No, the way they kind of work it now is that they try to do everything in one foul swoop.
Oh, I guess. Okay. I guess that's it. I'll let the other callers get in. It's so hard to get on here. I'll try not to tie the line up. Appreciate you, John.
I appreciate it, Rock. Thanks for the call, man. 201-939-4513. Oh, excuse me. Back to the phones. Roldy's in Bayshore. Roldy, what's going on, man?
Good morning, John. How you doing?
How are you, Rold?
Good. Will Beatty, we all know, had a bad year last year. Obviously, you know, I guess he was learning some new moves or something like that last year that made him, you know, not perform to his capability, and also chemistry, you know. And going forward this season, you know, hopefully he has a bounce-back season. But I would much rather feel so much comfortable if Chris Neal was to play that left guard position to be right next to Will Beatty so he could have that comfort level, that chemistry level, because he knows Chris Neal there. I mean, I'm not to knock, you know, Jeff Shorts, but in order for us to see the old Will Beatty, you know, back in 2011, he needs to have a guy that he had built a chemistry with next to him on his right side. And I think by putting Chris Neal on that left side would definitely be beneficial to Will Beatty and beneficial to the whole offensive line going forward this year.
Well, I don't think it has to be Snead necessarily, though, Roldy. If you tell me Jeff Schwartz is going to be there and he's going to start 16 games, he's a veteran, he's proven, he knows what he's doing. I think as long as you have a guy there all 16 games that's good, I think you're fine. If that's Schwartz, that's great. If it's Snead, that's great. But I don't think they're going to move Snead out of right guard, to be honest with you. I think Schwartz will be the guy next to Beatty, and I think that's just fine.
You think it would be fine? I mean, because I feel like it's just chemistry. It's just all about having that chemistry on that offensive line and, you know, having that comfort, that knowing that, all right, I've played with this guy. I've went to war with this guy. He has my back. If I'm not, you know, looking there, he has that guy. You know what I'm saying?
I think you'll be fine with Schwartz there. Not an issue.
Okay. All right, good. And like I was saying, you know, it's all about chemistry. Hopefully this offensive line can build up chemistry. Now that Chris Neal is back, you know, hopefully he'll have that role, that leader role, you know, to guide all of those guys, even Shorts. You know, I know he's a veteran guy, but, you know, all of them are learning something new, but a guy that's been there for a long time like Chris Neal will be definitely beneficial. And with Adrian Robinson, it's time to put up or shut up. I mean, listen, we all as Giants fans have, even Jerry Reese. I mean, he like I said, he said he's like the JPP of tight ends. You know, I'm sure Jerry Reese, you know, is looking for Adrian Robinson to have a big season. It's not like, you know, he has to still learn the Gilbride offense, which I'm not, you know, I didn't mind Gilbride's offense. It was just the personnel. But maybe that was probably the toughest, you know, playbook for him. Now everybody's starting from scratch. There shouldn't be any excuse for him. It's time for him to put up right now. He has, what, 2 more years left on his rookie contract. He has to at least show him, show everybody what he has. I mean, it's funny, yesterday in the interview, they asked him if he was watching the Giants. He said, oh, yeah, only the first round. And they asked him, were you keen to see if the Giants was to pick the pick Eric Ebron? And he's like, no, I wasn't. I'm like, yeah, right. You know, you were looking and watching and seeing if the Giants pick Eric Ebron, because you know that would be it for you. But it was funny how he was saying, nah, he wasn't worried about that. But, you know, like I was saying on Shake's podcast yesterday, you know, Adrian Robinson, it's time to put up or shut up. He has 2 years left, and he has to show everybody what he has. And that's pretty much what I have. And speaking of Shake's podcast, it's the Shakedown. You know, Shake's, you know, my man J-Rock and me, we host that show at 5 o'clock. So every Giants fan, call up, listen to us on that podcast. So
sounds good, Rold.
Thank you, John, for the love.
Bye. Appreciate it, man. These guys are plugging the podcast. I love it. 201-939-4513. As long as they're not competing with me, that's all I care about. They can do what they want. 201-939-4513. I'm sure it's a lot of fun. Have those three characters on there, I'm sure it's a riot. I'm sure it's very entertaining. I'm sure they do a great job. Ed, Houston, Texas. You're up next. What's going on, Ed?
Hey. Good morning, John. How you doing today, buddy?
You are our final call of the show today, Ed. What do you got for me?
Okay, one technique versus three technique defensive tackles.
Yeah.
I've been a fan of football since 1971, and I've heard that terminology many times, but I never really paid attention to it until the Linville Joseph thing came up, and I think he was referred to as a one technique defensive tackle, and the Giants didn't think he was worth $5 to $7 million a year, so they let him go, and he eventually signed with Minnesota. What exactly is a one-technique, three-technique defensive tackle?
Very, very simple. Very, very simple, Ed. And I learned this a few years ago, and here's how you look at it. The techniques are determined by who you line up across from. So the one technique, and it's often a one-shade technique, which means you're lining up over the center. A one-shade technique means you're lining up either to the left or the right of the center. The two technique would be lining up over the guard. The three technique is lining up between the guard and the tackle. The five technique would then be lining up outside of the tackle. The four technique on the tackle. And then, you know, people talk about the Y9. You know, that's out even further. A seven technique would be outside of the tight end. And then you get all the way out to the Y9 technique, which is, you know, really way out there, which is what, you know, the Titans ran for so long and then the Eagles ran. So basically, the center's one. That's the shade. The three technique is between the guard and the tackle, and then the five technique would be outside of the offensive tackle. So it basically starts at the middle of the offensive line and spreads its way out.
Okay, so a defensive tackle is never really going to be a five, because outside of the offensive tackle, I mean, that's going to be an end position.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so Joseph was a one technique, so he was pretty much lined up over the center all the time?
Yeah, and basically the way it works, the guy that you put in that one technique is the guy that's primary responsibility is going to be to stop the run. He's going to try to take on that double team between the guard and the center. Don't let them move the pile, stop the run. What you're looking at is your three technique guy, who's lined up obviously between the guard and the tackle, so he's really off to the side. You want him to attack those gaps. You want him to penetrate into the backfield. You want him to put pressure on the quarterback. So you have your bigger, fatter guy that's 300 and something pounds, clog on the run in the middle. That's going to be Jonathan Hankins. And then in between the guard and the tackle, you're going to have your smaller, quicker, more explosive guy. The Giants have Colin Jenkins in that spot. And it's going to be his responsibility to disrupt, to penetrate, you know, get into the backfield, stop the run there, or get after the quarterback.
So Hankins is going to be the one technique guy over the center then?
You got it.
Okay. All right, one other question. You were talking about injuries earlier. Fullbacks, I know they probably just carry one, Connor Hrannoski. How is Hrannoski doing since he was injured last year?
You know, Hrannoski is 100%. He's doing everything. He could have probably rushed back and gone back for the last couple games of last season, But at that point, he was on IR, so he couldn't make a return, obviously. But he's 100%. That's going to be an open and fair competition. I think as a straight-up blocker, Connor's probably the better player, but Hanoski can catch it a little bit. He could probably do a little bit more. He's a little bit more versatile.
That'd be pretty interesting watching the preseason to see which guy winds up with the fullback position.
Yeah, and you know what? That's the thing. I think we have to wait for the preseason, Ed, because, you know, fullbacks, they lead block. You're not lead blocking in practice. You're not blowing people up. I mean, you know, coaches can make sure you're in the right spot and you know the plays, and I think that's something else that probably Hanoski has over John Connor. I think he's probably a little bit of a smarter football player, in my opinion, but I think you'll have to wait till the preseason games, like you said, to see which one of those guys is the guy you want to use. My instinct on it is that if the Giants really want to return to a power running game, I'm thinking Connor is going to be the guy, and you have Peyton Hillis here to kind of be that hybrid receiving fullback, and I think they'll keep him, and that'll eventually slide Hanoski off the roster. Again, that's just my early guess. We'll see what happens, but that's what I think right now how it's going to go down.
Okay, well, getting excited. We're only about, what, 2.5 months from the Hall of Fame game, so...
No, 100%. Look, the competition is already underway, and it's going to continue. Look, you can't see a whole lot till you put pads on and you start hitting, but, you know, you can still see some things. And by the way, if you want to check it out, and I'm not sure if you're on Twitter, at hashtag Giants Chat, one of our good listeners, Martin Johansson, just posted up an article from Pro Football Focus explaining how the different defensive line spots work, if you want to take a look at that.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'd like that. Did you ever get that email? I called you the other day. You said you were going to email that guy Pico or Petto, whatever his name was, to compare Randall versus Beckham.
Oh, yes. You know what? I did. Yes, they consider Beckham, and I actually did. It was Jim Klein, Peter. I sent emails with him the other day, and I'm happy you brought it up. I totally forgot to bring that up on the show, and I appreciate it. He basically said that, much like with the Giants, when Randall arrived at LSU, it kind of took him a little while to figure out the system and get on the field and become a good player. So that was in contrast to Beckham, who showed up and started as a true freshman at LSU. So I think Beckham's the quicker learner. He's a more polished player and I think a smarter player and with a higher football IQ. So I think that'll get him on the field a little bit faster. Randall's obviously a lot bigger. Beckham's more explosive. And Beckham probably has a little bit of a better work ethic. That's, from what I got out of the guy, that's what he told me.
Okay. All right, John. Thanks for the feedback, and you have a great day.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate the call, man. Yeah, I actually did reach out to Jim, and he kind of gave me those nuggets there on Randall and Beckham. All right. Program reminder. Friday, no show. Monday, no show. Memorial Day weekend. Hope you guys have a great one. Enjoy it. Tomorrow morning, Rob Rang, CBS Sports, their lead draft analyst, our final look at the Giants draft picks and what he thinks about it. And then OTA start next week, folks. We should have a lot of fun. I will not be here Tuesday. I'll be at the Giants charity golf outing. Someone will be in here to host, probably Dottino or Lance. I'll figure it out. And we'll go from there. Everybody, great work on the phones. We'll see you tomorrow morning right here on Giants.com. Have a great day.